Bible, and let's turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we started a new series last Wednesday night, preaching through the parables, and we preached on the sowing of the seed and the different types of soil. So we saw the sower, the seed, and the soil last week. And so then this week we're going to talk about another familiar one. Obviously, we've heard of sowing seed, and we've heard of the condition of the heart and where it was planted and so forth. And then we've heard this one as far as the wheat and the tare. The wheat and the tare. And of course, both of these parables, Jesus, we're going to read it here in just a second, He gives it to them. And then He later on explains it. So both of these, there's no guesstimations, there's no trying to figure out what He meant and things like that, because this one's even more specific than last week's. He says, basically I'm paraphrasing here, when I said this word, this is what it means. And when I say this statement, this is what I meant. And so he breaks it down, and so there's no confusion in this parable, but we can learn how it applies to us. And so let's look at Matthew 13. We'll start reading verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. And it says, another parable. Okay, and of course, so we saw the first one last week, and of the sowing, some fell on stony ground, some fell on shallow ground, basically, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And then obviously we saw that some fell on good ground and it took root and it produced fruit. And according to the Bible, it says some produced 30 and some produced 60 and some produced hundreds. And so we see it was the condition of the soil was what was the most important. But now here's another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that soweth good seed. And so similar to the one we talked about last week, but we're talking about now out in the field. It says, in his field, but while men slept. And so again, this is important. And so all of us will do this later on this evening. And unless you've had lots of caffeine, or unless you have a child that likes to keep you up during the night, or some other reason, but most of us will sleep in a little while, and we need it. And so it wasn't a negative thing that they slept. And of course, we saw instances in the Bible where men were sleeping, and so then there were some that set watch. In other words, if it was a time of war, they would watch. And if they came in, the enemy came in while they were supposed to be watching and killed everybody, the blood would be on their hands. And so we see that these men, they slept. They had been planting. They deserved their sleep. And they've been working. And it says here that and his enemy came and sowed. And so we see again, sowing seed, planting. The gospel seed, if you want to say it that way, is necessary. But then, obviously, we have to have rest. But then, also, we all have an enemy. They came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And so, the people that sowed the right kind of seed, they did their part. But then there's always going to be, the Bible says, when you would do good, the evil presence is with you. And so, if you're out there preparing and giving the right truth, the good seed, the devil's going to make sure there's those that creep in, those wolves in sheep's clothing. And so in our day and time, I wish that there was only one religion, if you want to call it that. I wish everybody was, independent Baptist and believed the King James Bible and knew that they were saved. I wish everybody was like that. But that's not the case. And again, there are people out there that are teaching falsehood, teaching work salvation, teaching baptismal salvation, religion salvation. And so it's just going to happen. And so we have to do our part. What we'd like to do is have everything right? But then some people are like, well, what's the use? If I go out here and tell them the truth, there's just going to be 15 others telling them a lie. So what's the use? That's a... There is something useful by teaching the truth. It says here, but when the blade, which sprang up, all right, so if you plant something, obviously you go out there and you look, and then lo and behold, from the dirt, all of a sudden you see a green blade sticking up. And, to me, they all look the same. To somebody that does know what they're doing, That's a cucumber plant, or that's a tomato plant, or that's some squash, or that's this, that's some beans. But anyway, we see that the blade sprung up, and it brought forth fruit. And then appeared the tares also. And so like right there in the same trench, in the same flower bed, or the same garden, a tare popped up. And looked very similar. Again, to me, I would have thought, it's just more wheat. And so did they. But it says here, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, dost not thou sow good seed in the field? Yeah, that's what we bought. That's what we purchased. We put the good seed out there. From whence hath then it tares? So in other words, where'd you get it? Did somebody blend the seeds? Did somebody contaminate it? And obviously you can see in our world today, there's contamination. This taking place in the Bible. There's contamination in the plan of salvation. There's contamination in Christianity. There's contamination in this blended stuff. That's just, what in the world? What happened? Why? Because they knew. They could tell the difference between the wheat and the tare, even though it was just popping up. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Okay, and so obviously, we're going to see in my message here in a second, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but that's who they went to. When they saw the issue, they went to the master, they went to the owner, and he knew. All right, so when we go to God, when we tell God, God, there's people down here telling falsehoods on you can get to heaven this way. It's not catching him by surprise. He knows. He's probably saying, that's why you're important, because you know the truth. That's why you need to do it. And so he said here, whoa, time out. The servant said unto him, what wilt thou that we go and gather them up? I mean, should we just go start snatching them up? Should we just go start beating them up? Should we just go start taking them out? He said, nay. Thus while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And so he said, look, you just can't go out kamikaze. You're going to hurt the true stuff too. It hadn't taken real good root yet. So if you just go out taking stuff out, you're going to hurt the truth. So it says, but let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. So let's get out the false. Let's get out the stuff that's not wheat. Let's do that. Bind them into bundles and burn them. And so it says here, but gather the wheat into my barn. So another parable we see says, we'll talk about later, but let's go over to verse 37. And we'll read verses 37 through 43. And this is where God, Jesus, in the red letter there, is explaining what we just read. And so verse 37 says, and he answered and said unto them, this is what I was talking about when I was giving that parable a while ago of the wheat, the tare, and the root, and the sower, and the deception, and all that kind of stuff. And he says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So what Jesus said is the truth. Okay? And Jesus said unto Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by getting baptized. You don't get to heaven by letting your good outwear your bad. You don't get to heaven by joining or doing the crucifix or doing the candles or doing all the other things. All right? You get to heaven by doing what the Son of Man said. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so he said, then the field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Those of us that are saved, we're part of the church of Christ, of church of God. We're going to be presented by Him one day. It says here, and then of the wicked one. I'm sorry. And the tares are the children of the wicked one. And so again, this is what's sad. Those tares look just like the wheat. And they're believing just like we're believing. They were told something just like we were told something. But they were just told a lie. And just like we hold to the truth, they're holding to what they were taught. That's what's so sad about it. But it says here that they're the children of the wicked one. The enemy. That's why it's so evil. It's not just wrong. It's just evil. Because they're holding on to a lie. And we're going to see, we already saw, they're going to be bound and burned. But anyway, it says here, the enemy that sowed, the devil, the harvest at the end of the world is the reapers and the angels. So when it's over, it says, therefore the tares will be gathered and burned in the fire, and it shall be the end of this world. And verse 41 says, and the Son of Man shall send his angels and shall gather out his kingdom of the things that are offered to them, which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You read in Revelation, that's pretty much the description of hell. And then the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father, whom hath ears, let him hear. And so just like last week's parable said, if you've got two ears, hear this. And so we see the parable. I'm going to have to put it in fast forward now. We will go a little longer because we had the missionary, but that's fine. It says here, the parable was given to distinguish the difference between the child of God and the child of the devil. Right? And again, no, there's not religions out there that say, I'm a child of the devil. Like we sing, I'm a child of the King. They don't sing, I'm a child of the devil. But if they are believing in any other thing than Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and them getting saved to get to heaven, even unbeknownst to them, they're a child of the devil. That's what this parable's saying. That's why it's important that we get the gospel out. So it says here, the way they were in the same place at the same time, but they were different. The only way that it could be detected was by the fruit that it produced. So when it got all the way up and started producing fruit, then you're like, aha! So even igmos like me that don't even know the difference between a cucumber plant and a tomato plant, I know what a tomato looks like. I know what a cucumber looks like. So lo and behold, green things coming up out of the ground, and then all of a sudden, ah, cucumber! Ah, tomato! Same thing here. When it's over, Jesus is going to know who's been born again and who hasn't been. Wheat, tare. Wheat, tare. So that's what he's saying. Listen to this parable. Why? Because we got to produce some fruit. So here, they look very similar. Unless you know that you know. So here, God wants the children to be authentic, genuine, and produce fruit. So what? We're going to look at three lessons, and I'll just give them to you real quick. Deception. All right? This is a major tactic of Satan. Deception. In other words, it looks almost right, but it's not. That's how he deceives people. That sounds good. I mean, Jesus got baptized, so yeah, I ought to be baptized, but I can't trust that to get me there. I'm just going to be a tare if that's what I'm trusting in. So we see that when he uses Satan, every truth that we have, Satan has a lie for it. Deception. Everything that's right, Satan has something that's wrong. Deception. Everything that is authentic and genuine, Satan has a counterfeit. This is why Jesus said, if you've got an ear, hear this. Because here's salvation that God has. Satan has a counterfeit salvation. Here's the Word of God that God has and preserved it for us. Satan has a counterfeit. Here's the Holy Spirit. Ooh-wee-hoo. Satan has a counterfeit. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God or not. Just because we got some ooey-gooey, fuzzy, warm feeling, be careful. The Holy Spirit's not going to say anything that's not recorded in this book. Okay, so we got some ways to check it out. And I'll give you a couple verses real quick. Deception is Satan, one of Satan's tactics. And I'm going to read these verses quickly, and you'll see. Matthew 24, 4, 5, and 11, it says this, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am of Christ. You can go to different churches that teach different salvations, and you can hear Jesus' name. And you can hear good deeds talked about. And it says here, and shall deceive many, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. That's found in Matthew 24. Colossians 2:8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Well, don't you think? No, I just want to believe the Bible. I don't want to think. I'm not going to try to analyze. I'm not going to try to scrutinize. I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to put my faith in what He said. But there's philosophy out there. Oh my goodness. And in vain deceit after traditions of men and rudiments of this world. That's just what they've just been doing. Not after Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. We know that the Antichrist is going to do this. And it says there, no marvel. In other words, don't freak out about that. Don't say, oh, why? Because the Bible says, and Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. Like I said, we think Satan's, you know, red with a pitchfork with a tail and horns. It says here, he comes as an angel of light. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'll read one more. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So when I read verses like that, I was like, man, you know, if I just listen to everything out there, I'm going to be all deceived. I'm going to be all... So what I'm going to do? I'm just going to believe the Word of God. I'm just going to listen to what the Bible says. And so, be careful what you watch on, even online these days. You know, everything's true on the internet, right? And they'll tell you all this kind of doctrine stuff. They'll come in, and again, I'll just go ahead and admit this. A lot of those guys, it says here they're seducing and they're deceiving and they're slick. I would admit this. Most guys that teach false doctrine are way better speakers than me. All right, I'm not a very good speaker. I'm just trying to tell the truth. But if you listen to them, Mr. Smooth, alliterated, and oh, just perfect. I mean, but it's a perfect lie. And so, anyway, we see here, so deception. So the time deception, the sower, while they were sleeping, they were sowing in the daytime. They were putting the right kind of seed in the daytime where everybody could see. The enemy came in the nighttime. And there's a whole lot of things in the Bible about darkness. If you read in Proverbs about that simple one, he was out at midnight and the one dressed as a harlot came up to him and messed with him and freaked his mind out and talked him into sinning and doing all this stuff. That was at midnight in the darkness. These guys, they're out there planting falsehood. And don't tell anybody. They secretly do it. Why? The Bible says, he that loveth darkness rather than light, their deeds are evil. So they were out there trying to destroy the truth, trying to destroy the wheat. So the enemy came in at dark. So the sower, he worked openly in the daytime. Enemy worked dark, secretively. The darkness and the deception go hand in hand. And in our nation today, a lot of people have embraced, I'm going to just give you a list of things, erroneous doctrines of humanism, agnosticism, atheism, New Ageism, and then they've brought on false religion, and they've learned to just kind of get along with it. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, the occult, astrology, all this stuff is in our world today. Which one's the truth? So we see that this is how Satan does his work in the darkness. And then what it does for us, it causes a disconnect. So those guys came to the master and said, man, we sowed all day long yesterday. And we just thought our rows were going to be straight. There wasn't going to be a weed one. It was going to just fruit. Man, it was going to be awesome. And lo and behold, we go out there to look at it. And all this, it's useless. It's ruined. That's what we usually do, right? We just throw in the towel. Man, it's horrible. So it brings a disconnect. You go out and try to witness today and you get the door slammed in your face. Maybe you get cursed. And it's what's the use? That's another one of Satan's tactics. The darkness and the disconnect. I'm just one person. I can't do anything. So it confuses us. So pulpiteers have compromised. People have lowered God's small g as far as materialism and worldliness and carnality. The disconnect has caused all this. So when Christians become disconnected from the work of God, the enemy has free reign. They got leeway to do whatever they want to. So the tares themselves, it says here, it appeared first that they were going to have a huge harvest. This is awesome. Look at all this. And the servants, though, saw the tares among the wheat, and that they were, what's going on here? They were all at the right place. They were all at the right time. They were all had the right appearance at first. But this did not constitute authenticity when the fruit started coming. So the tares, they worked feverishly to bring division, not unity. Deception, not truth. Destruction, not growth. This is what tares do. Tares were exposed by their true identity when the wheat started producing fruit. And the tares are an example of wolves in sheep's clothing. So we saw, first of all, deception. Secondly, detection. This is what, if you have ears, let him hear. God's saying, look, there's going to be people out there that's trying to deceive you. There's going to be deception. So what I want you to be able to do is detect it. So in other words, that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. And He's like, when you hear something, it's kind of like they say that, the people that can tell counterfeit money, they don't ever teach them about counterfeit money. They just teach them about the true money, to the feel, to the smell, to the look, to everything else. And so when they feel, smell, touch, look, oh, it's that obvious. That's what He's saying here. The deception's out there. So what I need you to do is be able to detect it. So detect the darkness. Detect the deception. Detect the disconnect. And it says here, the tares will soon be identified. And so what we have to do in our detection, first of all, is perception. They noticed it. And as soon as they noticed it, what'd they do? They ran to the Master. So when you hear something out there, or you see something out there, or you're told something out there, and something inside of you is like, that's not measuring up. Go to God and say, God, show me. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, that's what He does. He'll teach us this book. He will bring to our remembrance this book. And we'll say, I knew it. I knew that just didn't measure up. Oh, it sounded good. It was close, but I want to be able to have that perception. That's what the book of Proverbs is talking about, understanding and fearing God and having that discretion. Be able to see it. So it says here, know the truth. So well that the lie will be obvious. Listen to that small, still voice. He'll be saying, God's not going to, the Holy Spirit's not going to scream, that's wrong. He'll be like, that's not it. It's a small, still voice. So remember the omniscience of God. So we see that when they perceived that there was something wrong, they went to the Master. And then what did the Master say? It's the enemy. They didn't sneak in there without me being able to see it. They didn't pull one over on me. And so we know, the Bible says, God is omniscient. All right, and He knows everything, sees it. So the Master knew what was going on. And it says here, God sees past part that people try to cover up. God sees the authenticity and the genuineness of a true believer. God sees all that. So we see here in our detection, we have perception. And then what was the plan? He's like, this is what you do. Remain calm. All right, and everybody, they have coffee mugs and t-shirts that say that, do this, and be calm or whatever. That's what the Master said. Hey, no, let's don't go out there yanking up wheat and yanking up tares. Let's just calm down. I'm still in control. And so then he says, don't do anything right now. Then it says here, you might can damage the roots of the wheat. So let's just watch and wait. That's what he tells us to do. And it says here, at no point will the tare become a wheat, and at no point will the wheat become a tare. It's just not going to happen. There's just no way. We'll just have to let them grow side by side. But no way possible they're going to swap places, because if you're saved, you're saved. If you're lost, you're lost. It's not going to just happen. All right. So Christ said, hey, this would be the best thing to leave them there. So we saw deception. And then he wants us to have detection. And here's the last one, division. Division. And again, the sad thing about this, all right, that's going to take place in our world one day. Division. Separation from God for eternity. That's why we have to produce fruit and do our part. That's why he said, if you've got ears, let them hear. So at this point, the enemy thought they had won. They thought they had brought great destruction and toil to the master's field. They thought they had won. But the day of reckoning came to the field, and the tares were divided from the wheat. Again, sad, sad commentary. There's people out there today that think they're wheat because they're believing a lie and they're a tare. And so that's important. So we see the tares, first of all, they were burned. They were separated. They were bound together and they were burned. The strategic plan of the destroyer had failed. So the fraudulent Christian, the wolves in sheep's clothing, the false teachers, haven't we prophesied thy name? Depart from me. I never knew you. The opposing of the authority, the hindering of God's work, they were all be found and burned. But then look what happens to the wheat. They are not burned, but they're, I'm making up a word here, barned. All right? They were put in the barn. They weren't burned. They were put in the barn. So the wheat was rid of the poison and the bothersome tares and being identified as the true fruit. They were barned. They were gathered up and put in the barn. So this distinguished place for the wheat. And that's what Jesus said. Hey, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. I'm going to go prepare you a place. And if I go prepare you a place, I'm going to come again and you're going to be able to come there. So he's getting it ready. So the difference between them was the barned and the burned. And the difference is basically the authenticity, the real fruit, the real wheat. God looks at the heart. And what is He looking for? To see if His Son's there. If His Son is there, you're going to the barn. If the Son's not there, you're going to be burned. So what are we going to spend eternity? Is not determined where we were, because they were both in the field. They both looked alike. They both talked, produced some fruit, but the wrong kind. So it's not where we're spending eternity. It's not going to be based on where we were, but what we were. What we were. We were the wheat. We were God's child. We had Jesus in our heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for a good night you've given us. And Lord, I just ask you to just be with us as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe as we travel. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the prayer request that we mentioned tonight. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries that were here tonight. We ask you to bless them on the next couple of days of travel. And Lord, I just ask you to provide their needs. And Lord, I just ask you to just have your will and way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.